Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. Thank you. It is a beautiful day. Jason Burton, thank you so much for the wonderful job you do in leading us in singing and the congregation for the way that you sing. It is great when we come together and sing, lift God up in song, and in turn lift each other up. I'm so appreciative of Dean Wright for his thoughts and our communion meditation, and for Tim reading the scripture and the prayer that he gave. We have guests with us today. We're so glad that you're here. I see college students that are home. Evidently, it's time to do laundry. Your parents love you. We're happy to see you, but please do that stuff before you leave campus, and you don't always have to bring it home. We will feed you. We'll provide a bed for you to stay while you're here, but really, do your own laundry before you come home. We do have a special guest with us today, all the way from Gonaïves, Haiti. Pacus, it is so wonderful to see you here. We love you. All the rest of you are special as well. I wish we could take time to recognize all of you, but Pacus does such wonderful work with the brethren in Gonaïves, Haiti, and we love you, and we appreciate you and the work that you do, and we hope during your time in the States, you're refreshed, you're re-energized, and that when you go back, you're ready to take on the work that's before you. This was originally intended to be a discussion with Eric Stripling. You know, the only problem when you plan a conversation with Eric Stripling is sometimes you have to have a conversation and Eric Stripling is not here. Unfortunately, Eric this week is dealing with some of the side effects from his chemo, and rather than risk further illness, he and I agreed yesterday that it was best for him to stay home. I wish everyone could have been in the Stripling home with me on Tuesday afternoon as he and I talked about what we were going to talk about. Eric was wanting to have this wonderful detailed outline of we're going to discuss A, B, and C, and maybe with somebody that's dealing with brain cancer, that probably would have been the way to do this. However, in the middle of the conversation, I said, Eric, you and I just need to talk. And that's what we were going to do. And so yesterday when he said he couldn't be here, we committed that we would do this another time, and that we will do this another time, but it provided me an opportunity to reflect a little bit on some things that he and I talked about that we'll be able to share at another time. You know, life is a funny thing. We work really, really hard to plan everything out and to do things according to that plan. And sometimes there's some really good things that happen to us that we don't anticipate. Our family of four becomes a family of five. Our family of decides that there's a new job opportunity and a promotion and our family moves, or maybe that promotion provides us with financial opportunity that we never knew that we would have. Sometimes it's just as simple from going to that 1,500 square foot house to that 2,000 square foot house. There's a lot of good things that happen in our lives that have an impact on our faith. Sometimes it's bad things that occur in life. In spite of our best efforts to plan and prepare, in spite of our best efforts to be healthy, in spite of our best efforts to stay in touch with people, things occur that are bad. There's uncertainty in employment. We get the phone call of someone's illness or death that we don't anticipate. And we find ourselves, whether times are really good, really bad, questioning where we are in life and where we are with our faith. I want to talk briefly today about some things that we need to be aware of and things that we need to do in response to these things that are going on around us, because I think it's very important to understand we cannot just walk through life. God calls us as men and women of faith to not just walk through this life. And if we find ourselves suddenly walking through this life, not being passionate, not being caring, not being willing to get out of our comfort zone, then maybe it's a sign that things that are going on in life are beginning to affect us rather than us affect them. You know, maybe I didn't punch the right button. There it is. Maybe our faith is weakened, and maybe because of these events we've noticed that we've begun to worry. Or maybe we've noticed that we've become fearful. Maybe also we noticed that we're tired, that we are just constantly fatigued. Maybe in addition to that, we've begun, in spite of all that's taken place around us, we've become indifferent or numb. Or maybe all of a sudden we find ourselves more alone and isolated. We see this in Scripture. 10 of the 12 spies were men that were worried and fearful and didn't want to act to move forward the people of Israel into the land of Canaan. Elisha was fatigued after having one of the most incredible periods of time in Scripture, where God had made himself known. He was worn out. There are times when we've noticed people who were suddenly indifferent and were numb to events that were going on, to where the writer of Revelation, John, described the church at Laodicea as just lukewarm. And finally, probably the best example of someone that we know that found himself isolated was the Apostle Peter, who was alone and then betrayed Jesus 3 times. So what do we do? We are not called to be people of fear or worry. We're not called to be indifferent or numb. We're not called to be people that are tired all the time. And we are definitely not people that are supposed to go through this world by ourselves. And if you find yourself in that position, it's okay. Just don't stay there. Just don't stay there. There's some things that we can do in Scripture when we find ourselves being anxious and fearful and numb and indifferent, isolated and fatigued. And I want to encourage you this morning to take time out and look at the following passages of Scripture that I, for some reason, can't get this. There we go. I think it's important for us that regardless of what's going on in our life, to take the time to praise God for who He is. There was a young teenage girl that we know about in Scripture who suddenly found herself in a very unusual, unexpected, unanticipated, and really hard to explain situation. Mary was pregnant with Jesus. We all know what could have happened, but in the midst of all of what could have been a time of great worry and anxiety for her, in Luke chapter 1, Mary spoke these words. We just sang them. My soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of this humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He has said to our fathers. In a time that one that had more reasons than can be listed for reason to worry and to be anxious, Mary took the time to praise God. I think also the other thing we need to understand, that's interesting. We need to focus specifically on what God has done for each and every one of us. David gives us a great idea in the 103rd Psalm. And if you have your Bible with you, Please turn there to Psalm 103. In the 103rd Psalm, David is being very reflective. And I think sometimes when we get caught up in the hustle of life, we don't do that. And I think it's one of those times in life when Satan grabs hold of us. And I think it's important for us to understand that we have had so many things done for us by God. Think about, listen to these words of David. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so has the Lord had compassion on those who fear Him. I encourage you today to be like David and think about the ways God has taken care of you. How God has heard your prayers. How He has comforted you, how He's helped you, how He's guided you, strengthened you, provided for you, been with you, forgiven you, redeemed you, loved you, and how He has given us hope. That, as Tim just read, that hope that anchors us. I also want to encourage you to remember, in addition, what God has prepared for each one of us. We can praise God, we can focus on what He is doing and what He has done and what He is doing today, but nothing comforts me more than to look at the 21st chapter of Revelation. There's a lot of things about the book of Revelation I wish I understood. I think at one point in time when I get to heaven, I want to sit down with God and John and say, okay, let's talk about this. Help me understand it. But there are some things that we can be certain of. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the new throne said, I am making everything new. Then He said, write these down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. How awesome is that? Church, we're just passing through. I wish I could tell everyone here that if we do A, B, and C, life will be easy. Life will not be easy. There are good things and bad things that are going to happen that are going to just rock our world. But what we have to do is be mindful of how we need to praise God, how we need to be mindful of what He has done for us and is doing, and how, in addition to that, what He has prepared for us. But there's a fourth thing that we need to do. We need to tell others. When we find ourselves focused on the worries of this world, when we find ourselves being anxious about what's to happen next, when we find ourselves constantly tired, when we find ourselves suddenly alone, Satan has won. But as we come through that, as we leave that behind, or maybe even as we are working our way through it, we know that we are loved by God, and we know that we have a story to tell, and we need to tell others. The Great Commission is not contingent upon everything being perfectly aligned in our lives. The Great Commission is not contingent upon us being happy. The Great Commission is not contingent upon us being healthy. It is not contingent upon our bank account. It is not contingent upon us feeling like we want to do it because everything is good. Because you see, we are just passing through. And God asks us, very simply, commands us rather, that as we move forward in this life, we need to make sure we're bringing people with us as we go home to be with Him. It's that simple. Some of us may say, well, you know, I'm not sure how to answer questions. That's fine. If you don't know how to answer the questions that maybe come up in talking to people about Jesus, that's not a reason not to talk about Jesus. I can't tell you the number of times that people have provided opportunities and others have told me that they didn't talk about Jesus when they had the opportunity because they weren't sure what they would say or they weren't sure how the questions could come up and be handled. The main thing you need to tell people is that God loves them. He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. That's how much He loves you. And there are a million ways that you can have an open door to have that conversation. If we focus on everything but what God has done and is doing in our life, if we haven't praised Him, we will not see those opportunities before us. And so today, church, my encouragement to us is quite simple. I encourage all of us today to reflect on what God has done for us, to focus on how He has blessed us over and over again and give Him honor, glory, and praise. Remember what lies ahead for us as we just travel through and pass through this earth, and tell others. One of the things that came out of my conversation with Eric the other day that I wanted you to hear so much, and I look forward to you hearing it in the next few weeks when we're able to have him here, is that Eric, over the last, five and a half, six and a half years, has found opportunities to talk to people about Jesus. Eric, on his last occasion to have surgery, was laying on the gurney waiting to go back. He had been provided medication to help him relax prior to surgery. He begins to have a conversation with the young man about his faith and basically asks him, what do you believe in? This guy had some really unique beliefs. And Eric looked at him somewhat groggily and says, you know, I'm getting ready to have brain surgery, and I really don't think I can comprehend everything you're telling me. When I get finished with surgery, can we have this conversation again? The guy says, sure. Eric goes in, has his brain surgery. He's in recovery. The nurse that had prepped him for surgery had come to check on him following his surgery. As Eric is coming out of this anesthesia, he sees this man and says to him, can you try and explain to me again what you believe in? And in the middle of it, Eric, you could tell, was not all with it. The effects of medication being what they are, and literally just hours or less than hours after surgery, he finally looked at him and he said, I'm sorry, I've just had brain surgery and I can't follow all that you're telling me. Now, if there was ever a reason that somebody had the opportunity, if there was ever a reason not to say something about your faith, he had it. But in spite of the fact of what he was going through, he found an opportunity to talk to someone and share his faith. Brothers and sisters, we have those same opportunities every day. And what Satan wants us to do is to be so focused on this world that we're just passing through that we don't see those opportunities. And it would be so incredible, changing for our congregation, changing for our community, changing for all of us, if we simply asked God to give us the opportunity, that we see the opportunity, and that we take advantage of the opportunity to tell others about Jesus. You know, I understand, as we all do at different points in time, life is hard. And I also understand that sometimes you come to an understanding that things need to change. And today you may be in that same sense of awareness that something needs to change. You know, in a minute, we're going to sing a song of invitation. And we sing this song, we stand and we sing, and people come forward. And I understand it's very awkward. So Mark Hodges last week asked the elders to do something that I'm going to ask us to do it again. I'm going to ask all of our shepherds that when we sing the invitation song, to please step out to the aisle. If you feel the need for prayer or a need to respond, and you're concerned that I don't know about going down there by myself, you don't have to worry about that. One of our shepherds will come with you. If you find that this is not something that you want to do publicly, then find one of those elders and go back and utilize one of our offices for a time of prayer. The water is prepared. If you've decided that you want to put on Christ in baptism, we would love that. If you find yourself burdened by worry and anxiety, if you find yourself just worn out, if you find that you're numb and indifferent, that the burdens of this life, whether it's been good or it's bad, have weighed you down, there's something that you want to change, today's a good day to do it. If there is any need that you have, please come to us as we stand and sing this song.